All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome, everyone, to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy book, TV, pop culture, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Christine. Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone. This is our first episode recording in the new year. Yes. But this is actually episode 10 today, and we're talking about our favorite cinnamon roll men that we love.
Yeah, we did our toxic men we love episode, and we thought it only fair to do the other end of the spectrum here and celebrate the cinnamon roll men we love in fiction.
This is like across like all books and TV and movies
and everything.
It was quite a difficult list to
create. We realized that it's much harder to list out the cinnamon roll men we love in comparison to the toxic men we love, which is like, what does that say about us? What does that say? You had a troubled upbringing.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like so many people have the same thing, though. They know the bad boys they love, but
yeah.
Who are the ones that are sweet?
Well, even thinking about them, it's a stretch. Like, I don't actually think they're all like
they're sexually attracted to them. Cinnamon roll, or they're all not sexy. Yeah.
This is
the problem with our perception of people.
I know, it's bad. Okay, anyways, we'll get into that later. but let's do our snap, crackle, pop culture news. Woo. Christine, take us away.
All right, well, today in Taylor Swift news, we have the Golden Globes are this week. Are they tomorrow or today that we're recording? I should have looked this up beforehand, but when I saw this tweet from E! News, it made it sound like they were really soon, like January 10th. Okay, they're tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific.
On a Tuesday? That's weird.
You know, it's weird how things happen. Anyway, Taylor Swift's going to be there. And there was this tweet from E! News that was like, we're so excited that, you know, Taylor Swift and Selena Gomez, we're going to see them at the Golden Globes together. And it made it sound like they were going together, or that they were like hosting a red carpet there or something. And I got so excited for a millisecond until I realized that they're just both nominated. So Selena's nominated for Only Murders in the Building. Is that? Yeah. Only Murders in the Building.
Cool.
Her comedy murder podcast show. It's very good. If you haven't watched it, it's on Hulu. And Taylor is nominated for her song Carolina that was in Where the Crawdads Sing. So hopefully they both win. And hopefully, you know, I would love to see them go together if they do. That would be so cute. Love their friendship. So that would be fun.
Cute.
Yeah. What else we have going on?
I don't know. Did you miss this news? But Chris Evans Chris Evans hard launched his girlfriend on Instagram. Her name is Alba Baptista.
Yes. She's 25.
She's 25. Now, there was already rumors and pictures of them together, like at Walt Disney World a couple of weeks ago, with his family. And then he just put like a whole video of them together scaring each other, which I thought was funny. And I don't know. I want to know how Scott Evans feels about this.
Of course you do. You and Scott Evans and his Instagram.
Well, because he's the one who started the whole like scaring each other thing. Oh. And now like Chris and his girlfriend are doing it. Like, I don't know how I would feel if like my brother got a... I know it's cute, but I'm like, that's our thing.
Oh my God. I just, it freaks me out sometimes when I like see these relationships. I'm like, wow, she's younger than me and she's dating like Chris Evans, who I just always think of as like an adult man. And I don't, which is, it's a weird perception thing because I just don't think of myself as like an adult woman sometimes because I've been watching him on TV and movies, not TV, in movies since I was so young. So it's just weird. Whoa. I mean, it's not like she's too young to date him. Obviously, she's an adult. It's just like something weird. Right,
but there's like a 15-year age gap.
Is he 45? There. Or like... He's in his 40s.
No, he's 40.
Oh, he's 40. Okay. I thought you said 15. Yeah. Oh, I obviously can't do math. What do I do? I was like, 15 plus 30 is 45. No, she's 25. Oh. Anyway. Yeah, he's not that much older than us.
Well, Nico has stuff to say about Chris Evans.
Nico is a big Chris Evans fan. He's very sad that he's paired off now. Nico was in line. You know what's
funny? There's a dog on TikTok who is in love with Henry Cavill. And have you seen this video?
No. I don't get the Henry Cavill videos on TikTok.
Okay. No, like literally, like the dog's mom, I think his name is Reese, like has put other pictures of other actors in their house, but he only goes to the one and like is obsessed with the videos with Henry Cavill. So it is not unheard of if Nico decides to love Chris Hemsworth. I'm Chris Evans. Sorry.
I was just going to say on the TikTok train there, did you see the video I sent you of Dylan O'Brien at the Knicks game with the Knicks cheerleaders?
No, I've been on a like not watching TikTok because I've been reading.
Oh my gosh. I sent you and I was like, Dylan! So there's this video and it's like two of the Knicks dancers and they're doing a dance and it's zooming out and there's a guy behind them with his hat down doing the dance with them and then he looks up and it's Dylan O'Brien! And
oh, I did see this.
It was so
but
cute.
Not because you sent it to me. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, it was viral, but I saw it a couple days ago and I sent it to you and you never responded. So I was like, did Natasha see the Dylan O'Brien video? Because I never go on TikTok much these days. So when I go on and I see things, I'm like, I don't know when this went viral, but I love it.
You caught it before it did. So
all right.
Good for you. Okay, so before we dive into what right now, we want to take a second to give a special thanks to our new patrons. So we're going to say a big thanks to Lauren, Claire, Lillian, Jane, Claire L, Tiffany, Vanessa, Cheyenne,
Jillian, Anastasia, Gabby, Allison, Catherine, Bren, Pacer, Danielle, and Atien. Thank you so much for becoming patrons this past couple weeks. We are so grateful. If you don't know, we have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls. And we have really fun perks over there for anyone who wants to support the show in that way. We started planning. So for one of our tiers, the Team Polis Bananas tier, one of the perks is the opportunity to be a guest on the show. And we have up our guest thing, Google form now. Yes. So if you are a Team Polis Bananas patron, please, and you're interested in being a guest on the show, please fill it out because we're planning out our year. We're hoping to like bring on a listener once a month. And we have our two first listener guest episodes planned out. So we're very excited. Make sure you fill that out. Again, it's on the Patreon if you're on Team Polis Bananas. Your support means the world to us over there. And our other main perk is our Fangirl Tea Time segment, which is a half an hour segment that we have at the end of the show for anyone Team Edward and up. And It's so much fun. It's just like more personal stuff that's going on in our lives we talk about after the main show. So, and you don't have to be a patron to support the show. You can support the show for free. Natasha, how can you support the show for free? We appreciate any support.
Telling a friend and actually rating and reviewing the show on your favorite podcast listening platform is like a great way to help us. And then, you know, also leaving us a comment if you're watching the visual version on YouTube, which is always so much fun for us to read. And yes, then telling a friend, telling friends and family, interacting with us on social media, on those Forking Fangirls on Instagram, Fork Fangirls Pod on Twitter, those Forking Fangirls on TikTok, and then those Forking Fangirls on YouTube.
Yes,
so we have all those platforms.
If you like to watch the show, make sure you're subscribed to YouTube. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls. And if you are listening on your listening platform, it's a huge help to us to just follow the show for free there, so you make sure it comes into your feed every week and you don't miss an episode.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. Thank y'all so much for any and all support. It's greatly appreciated.
Truly, truly. Okay, are we ready for What Right Now?
Yes, What Right Now? So right now, I mean, I'm reading my book 3 again, which is not not something new, but I wanted to talk about instead, because I don't have a new thing to say here, Better Together, the paperback, is coming out April 11th this year, which I'm really excited about. I just saw the final cover and it just got sent to the printer, and this is my second novel that I didn't really get to launch like a regular novel. I didn't get to go on tour, you know, I didn't get to go around to places because of the pandemic. And I'm really excited to kind of relaunch it in April. And it has a bonus scene in it where I can't really say what it's about, but it's like a really fun bonus scene. And yeah, obviously. But if you don't know, Better Together is the new line on it is The Holiday Meets the Parent Trap. And it's about two young women who are going through their quarter life crisis, and they're both their sisters, but they haven't seen each other in 13 years, and they're reconnecting, but they kind of go back to where the other one lives, and they find romantic interests and experience their first loves and are trying to figure out their careers. So one's an aspiring comedian and one is a dancer, and it's a fun time. So if you haven't read it yet, or if you have read it and you're interested in getting the paperback, I'm gonna leave a link to pre-order it in the description on the show notes. The show notes, it's a podcast. And I would greatly appreciate the pre-order. It really matters to the publishing company. So if you're interested, check it out. Thanks.
Yay, thanks. I finished A Light in the Flame, which is the Jennifer L. Armentrout series, the spinoff of Ash, from Blood and Ash, and definitely cemented one of my favorite series. I loved this book. It was so good. It's like, if you are missing like ACOTAR or any of those novels, like this is like your next series.
Nice.
More like Silver Flames though.
Ooh, so it's
then spicy. Oh, yes. And then I read A Touch of Darkness by Scarlett St. Clair. And this is like one of the books that all of the TikTok girlies were like going crazy over last year. And it was good. It's about Hades and Persephone. And I mean, I really enjoyed it. It was fun. It was like super easy to get through. I really like the world. It's kind of like if gods were real in our modern world. And it's the love story the mythology between Hades and Persephone is not love, but this is a love story between Hades and Persephone.
Nice.
Yes. What? Okay, TV shows.
Yeah, what have you been watching?
Okay, so Alex and I watched this new show on Netflix last night. We got through two episodes. It's called Treason. It's with Charlie. He plays Daredevil.
Oh, Charlie Cox? Is that
his name? Yes.
I haven't seen him in anything except for Daredevil.
Yeah, I was really excited for this show because it's about like MI6 and I don't even want to tell, like, I mean, it wasn't good, okay? I'm just going to put it out there. It's really frustrating, the writing, because the wife character is written so poorly and there's little to no communication, and the stuff and the decisions that this main character makes, he's like the person in charge of MI6, doesn't make any sense at all if you are in charge of MI6. And it was extremely frustrating and we turned it off because we couldn't take it anymore.
All right. Well, don't watch that then.
No. And then here's another scathing review. National Treasure is so bad.
There's a show? Is it with Nick Cage?
No, it's with Catherine Zeta-Jones. And it's on Disney Plus. It was so corny and so bad. And no, we turned it off.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate.
We did, my whole family and I watched Limitless with Chris Hemsworth, and that was enjoyable, so we like that.
All right, good. I watched Emily in Paris season 3, and I had a ball. I know people have issues with Emily in Paris, but, like, if you just look at it as, like, entertainment, it's really fun, and I have had such a nice, like, I've had a lot of anxiety, as I have had all year, and this has been a really nice, just, like, fun, fluffy show. And now after I finished, I was like, I don't have another fun fluffy show waiting, so I started it over, and I just started to see, like, all these, like, foreshadowing bits in season 1 about all the stuff that's happening in season 3. So I was like, oh, this is nice, like, they've known where they're going, and I love to see a good foreshadowing bit. So that's been fun. And movies, I saw a movie in a theater for the first time in a while. Well, you go to a lot of movies in theaters.
That's true.
You want to go first?
Well, Abby says she recommends Partner Track on Netflix, which I've watched and I really did like. Have you watched that yet, Christy?
Is that a fluffy show?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's with Arden Cho and
Dominic Sherwood. I remember seeing a trailer for that. Okay. I have to go check it out because If you don't have a recommendation in your head, Netflix is so overwhelming that you just kind of sit there and like, I don't know, rewatch. So that's good to know. Thank you. Okay.
I watched Avatar as well with my whole family.
Nice.
And then we both watched Glass Onion. What were your thoughts on Glass Onion?
I enjoyed Glass Onion. I really... These movies, these Knives Out movies, like, I enjoy them, but I feel like I always am left wanting more from it because my basis for movies like this is the Clue movie from, like, the 80s, which is perfection. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's, like,
I've never seen it.
Fun. Oh my gosh, we should watch it. It's so good. Okay. It's just so funny. Like, it's so self-aware, and it's also so thrilling the whole time, and there's so many murders, and I love it. I wrote a script, like, with that as, like, my comp in college because I, like, so badly want to tell a story like that. So I love, like, the idea of telling a story like this, and then I watch these Rian Johnson films and they're really well done and they're, like, have a lot of really great messaging and all that, but there's always just, like, just not enough, like, hijinks for it to, like, add up to that Clue basis that I have in my head from that 1980s movie.
I would agree. I do think Knives Out, the first one, was way better than
you
last.
Do?
Not way better, but I think
the second one's better.
I just think that both of the movies... My mouth is so dry right now, so if I sound like I have a lisp, I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
No, I think because... Well, both of the movies give away who does it, and but then there's twists after that, and so like I kind of, and then you're second guessing, and it's always the person you think it's gonna be. Like it's it's never gonna be the person who it shouldn't be. It's always gonna be the person that you think it is gonna be because they're the bad person in it.
I feel like in the first one, it was so obvious from the very beginning who did it. And then in the second one, like, it's not obvious because it would be too obvious. You know, that's the thing. So it's, you're kind of gauging what's going to happen and who the murderer is going to be up until the twist at the halfway point of the movie, I feel like.
Yeah.
And that was like, oh, like that was fun. And that's when the movie started to get fun. And the characters were all really fun in just like getting to know who these people were. And I liked how everything unfolded much better in the second one because I felt like there was more mystery. Whereas in the first one, I was like, okay, I know what happened already. And what are we doing?
That's true. I mean,
it depends, I think, on like your just taste and the characters and stuff. Which one you like better.
Yeah, I want more like twists and turns and someone else to be bad. Like usually all the other characters are bad. That's the whole gist of it. And
it's just like everyone has the gray area. Yeah, everyone has a motive.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I really think we have to watch Clue.
Okay. What were your thoughts on Avatar?
All right. Avatar, hypothetically, was a good movie. But as I was watching this, I was just getting so annoyed. Like, this is too fucking long. And I could have cut this scene. I could have cut this scene. I could have cut this scene. It was like pissing me off. And I was like so annoyed by the kid. The he was a terrible actor. He was horrible. I'm talking about the kid who's not an Avatar. Do you know what I'm talking about? What's his name? Spider.
Oh, Spider.
Oh my God. Every time he spoke, I cringed. I was like, he's delivering these lines so horribly that you're really seeing like the simplicity of some of the dialogue. And I just wanted to gag every time he was on screen. I was just like, get him out of here. You're ruining this movie. Like you're ruining it. And every time he was like, don't hurt her. I was like, oh my God, who are you? Like, have you ever acted before? Like, why did James put you in this? I just really didn't like his character, and I just thought he felt really fake the whole time. Julia agrees with me.
Hold on. Abby says, apparently they casted the kids from Athletes because they needed them to be really good swimmers.
All right. Well, the other kids were good. I thought that they were all great actors. I think there was a lot going on in this movie. Like, it felt like James should have made Avatar a television show. I don't know why he didn't. I feel like this is not made for a movie format. It went on for so long that I wanted to check my phone, and I'm like, not that person. I am the person, like, put your fucking phone away.
That's funny because that was not my experience. Like, I was tripping for 3 hours. Like, I was, like, in the movie. I was watching it in 3D in my recliner seat. I was like, this is beautiful. I love this.
I was like, another shot of whales? Are you kidding?
I was like, give it to me. I love all of this. Like, I loved the second movie way more than I did the first one.
Wow.
And I was thinking how hot Jake Sully is the whole time.
I mean, he is attractive. I just think that there was a lot of just like glorious shots of water that made this way longer than it had to be, and it made it hard to sit in the chair. I feel like if it's like the normal human being cannot sit for 3.5 hours, and I normally can, but I was just not in it because the bad acting kept taking me out, and I was like, I want to strangle this kid right now. I can't. But I was also like kind of falling asleep for like the first chunk of it, and I was like, what is happening?
What is wrong with you? This was not my experience.
I feel like you've had a lot of, like, I don't know, going to the movies with, like, such excitement that it's different from when I've seen, like, because I had the same, not the same reaction with Enchanted, but, like, you guys loved it, and I was like, I can't watch this movie. And I at the end of the movie, I was like, I cannot believe how they ended this, because they're stretching something out that does not need to be stretched out, and I was so mad that they did it. I can't say what it is because it's a spoiler, but, like, you don't have to do another movie with this. Like, end it, please. I can't.
Yeah, that was really frustrating.
I liked the idea. Again, like, I like a lot of the things happening, but it was just, like, I was making, like, all these critiques in my head the whole time because I was so frustrated with the length.
Well, okay, my biggest critique and takeaway, which was taking me out of the film, was the fact that James Cameron, just, like, it's a fantasy world, but a lot of these characters, and their, like, their hair, the way they speak is all either pulled from Native culture or it's pulled from Black culture. And the fact that he put Kate Winslet into a role where it could have been played by a Black woman.
Wait, who was Kate Winslet? Kate Winslet's in the
movie? Yes, that's the reason. She doesn't even have, she's using, like, a Native accent. She's the pregnant matriarch
of
the Water Clan. Yes.
No. Oh my god. I thought oh my god, that's really sad to hear that that wasn't a woman of color. Cuz
And if, yeah, and half the kids, like, weren't even people of color. It was, that's what bugged the crap out of me, is that me watching this, like, really strong character who is a white woman behind all of the CGI was ridiculous.
I cannot believe that. I had no background of, like, who was in this movie going into it, except for the people, like, from the original one. And that is mind boggling. Cause I actually do remember you, like, saying, is she in this movie before you saw it? And I watched it and I was like, I guess she wasn't. What the heck?
And also, like, Sigourney Weaver plays, like, a young, for like 14, 15 year old girl. And that also fully took me out.
The
film.
Wait.
Yes, she plays.
Daughter?
Her daughter. No. That's Sigourney. How did you not notice this? Like, it's her voice.
I was like, maybe she's, like, acting like her daughter. I don't know. This is so weird. What?
Anyways.
Okay, I don't want to spoil anything.
James Cameron had a lot of opportunities to make it right and to have more representation, but he just didn't.
I can't believe he didn't, because it's so long. So long. This is ridiculous. The next movie, I'm annoyed how this movie ended, and I'm annoyed now that you've told me that. Like, I was kind of annoyed in the movie because I started to notice this, and I don't know if this is, like, I've heard people say certain critiques about James Cameron, and I've never agreed with them until this movie. And one of them is, like, the dialogue, which was highlighted by bad acting. Like, if you have good actors, then they can say anything. And it sounds amazing, but the acting was kind of subpar at points. And then there was, this is turning into the Avatar review episode. I'm so sorry. But then there was, like, the female characters don't get much to do. And they're just, like, there's no real, even the one, the Sigourney Weaver one, who feels like the chosen one. She feels like almost like the Jesus. Yeah, she's the Jesus here. And she doesn't feel like a lead character. She doesn't get much to do. We just see her connecting things. And, like, the mom didn't really have a role except, like, like, she would just be, like, crazed in scenes. And I did not like the way that she reacted when something happened, and how, like, it was just always, she was, like, the crazy emotional person, and her husband was always the really down-to-earth logical guy. Always. So, yeah. I don't know. I didn't, again, like, it sounds like I hated the movie. I didn't. I just have all these critiques that really stand, that are kind of blocking some of my enjoyment.
Yeah. I think we can objectively say, like, we enjoyed the film, but there are issues within it that have nothing to do with the visuals. Okay. We're gonna move on. Yes. I did watch another. I watched one more movie, which is on HBO Max, which you should watch, Christine. It's called The Menu. It was in theaters.
Did you like it?
And it's with. I did. It was so good.
Yay!
Anya Taylor-Joy and what's his face? Voldemort.
Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes and other dude, Beast. Why am I blanking on all their names?
Beast? Oh, Stephen King.
What? No.
Is that not his name?
No.
The Beast? Like Beauty and the Beast?
No, from X-Men.
Oh, how is... You mean Nicholas Holt?
Yes, Nicholas Holt.
I know everyone's name right now. This never happens when I'm trying to figure out people's names.
Anyways, they're all in that movie, and they're all great.
I've been so curious about this movie. I'm so glad that you liked it. I'm going to watch it during one of my breaks. I am almost done with the book draft so that I can watch things again and do videos. I can't wait to switch gears. Whew. All right.
Okay.
Let's go to our main discussion.
Yay. All right. So we're talking about fictional cinnamon roll men that we love.
Yes.
I pulled some definitions from the internet.
I was going to ask if you wrote these, if this is from your heart or if this is from someone else.
No, this is from somebody else's heart. I should have put down the source and I will find it and I'll put it in the show notes. Okay, cinnamon rolls are genuinely good people who have suffered undue pain in their lives. You'll yearn to see these sympathetic sweeties finally find the love and happiness they deserve. Christine, do you want to read the second
one? Yes, I'll read the second part. A cinnamon roll hero is a sweet, supportive kind and oh so sweet, a little repetitive there. An oh-so-sweet hero who is just too good for this world, like a really good cinnamon roll, hence the name. Or a donut. Donuts are really sweet and too good for this world. Wow. This is a masterpiece.
I did not write this.
That's how it ends. They're good people that we're very endeared to that aren't toxic the way that toxic people are in the shows that we love. You know, it's not a Damon character. It's an endearing character. That is sweet and kind, and they're trying to get the person that they want romantically, but it just keeps not happening, you know, that person. Mm-hmm. So you want to start us off with, we have 10 each here. Oh, go ahead.
The thing is, I was thinking about this, and I feel like a lot of women are perceived this way, and not a lot of men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, usually, I was thinking of people within a relationship. I'm like, oh, she's more, like, you know, grumpy sunshine. You know, she's more of a cinnamon roll than he is. Yeah.
Hmm. I guess I tend to think of it just, like, I don't categorize the ladies that way. But you're right in terms of, like, how you would look at it if you were labeling a couple.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my first one is Marcus from Spoiler Alert by Olivia Dade. And this is that, like, plus size, like, the main character is plus size. He's actually an actor in the show, kind of like a Game of Thrones. And the reason why he's so, like, such a cinnamon roll is because he writes fan fiction for his own TV series because he hated the way that the writers have written the show. And he feels like it should be more like the books. And then, like, he gets so obsessed with this the main character who's a plus size cosplayer, and he's like, well, I want to meet her. Like, I'm going to stand up for her, because there, she was getting so much hate about being, you know, cosplaying a character who's, like, normally thin.
Okay, and wait, stands up for her. Confused here. So he gets obsessed with a cosplayer of one of the characters from the show who's plus size. Like, she's not the actress in the show.
So there is... No, she's not. Think of, like, me cosplaying Wonder Woman.
Okay, okay. Cool. Very cute. All right. I think this first character I have on my list is, like, the quintessential cinnamon roll character in a novel, and that's Jem Carstairs from the Clockwork Angel trilogy. If you've read those, you know there's Jem and Will, and Jem is just, like, the cutest, sweetest, kindest cinnamon roll boy. And, of course, the first time I read it, I completely ignored him. I was just like, who cares about him? And then I read it again, and I really loved him, because this is what happens, unfortunately. I feel like to cinnamon roll characters in books, a lot of the time, you're like, who's that mysterious bad boy? And there's, like, this really nice kid over here, and you're just like, I don't give a shit about this. And it's just, like, more dramatic with the boy who's, like, doing mysterious shit that you don't understand and need to know, like, why are they that way, and you want the love interest with the toxic person, but you underappreciate how wonderful the other person is. You don't even take the time to get to know them. And so I got the time.
I know.
I've taken the time to get to know Jem Carstairs through many, many Shadowhunters novels now, and he is just wonderful, and I love him. He plays violin. He always, like, takes everyone's thoughts and feelings into consideration, and he will always, like, you know, save the wounded person, child who needs help, and it's very cute.
It is very cute. Okay. I feel like I was really stretching the limit here with my list. I put Thor down.
I see where you can say that, but is he?
I feel like he is because, okay, he's such, like, a dude bro. And he has really, like, at the end of his arc, he's lost everything. And all you want is for him to be happy because he's gone through so many traumatic experiences. And he's had such a, like, joyful, I guess, manner about him. And, like, the way he is, like Hope was saying in Love and Thunder, is just, he's just such a sunshine character in that movie. Like, you can't help but, like, love him. And, like, the whole, like, the my favorite parts of Love and Thunder is, like, can we do get help? And then you have grumpy Loki being like, no. And then he's like, yes, we're doing
that's
get
in,
help.
That's in Ragnarok.
Oh, shoot, you're right. Yeah, okay, well, both
Ragnarok
of those
is
movies.
Where he really shines. Love and Thunder was not so great.
No.
But yeah, I see he becomes a cinnamon roll. Like, he arcs into one. And
yeah,
it's really cute to watch it happen. I can see that, yeah.
Well, even in his first movie, where he's, like, sitting there in the cafe, and he's like, I like this drink, another. And then Natalie's like, what? You can't just do that. And he's like, why not? And, like, you just can't help but love him. Like, he's
a
lovable guy.
Yeah, but that's
not
a cinnamon roll move. That's, like,
That's true.
A fish out of water situation.
But even though that movie was not the best, I still came away with it, like, loving Thor out of all the other Avengers the most.
The first Thor?
I know. And Alex was like, well, why don't you put down Captain America? I'm like, Captain America's not a cinnamon roll. He's just, you know.
Oh, I think he is one, but we just don't care. He's one of those ones that he's not edgy enough at all that we just ignore him until it's been years. And we're like, wow, he was a really nice person.
I guess so.
He is, like,
He's I think one of those quintessentials that you just forget about because he doesn't have much edge at all. I didn't mention that Jem Carstairs also has a very harrowing backstory. He's been through a lot. He's lost his whole family. So that it adds up with the cinnamon roll definition at the top of the screen. The next person on my list, also a quintessential, I feel like, Peter Parker, especially Tom Holland's Peter Parker.
Especially him. Yeah.
He has the sweetest little cinnamon roll.
I was going to put down Peter Parker, and you didn't have on your list yet. I'm like, she's going to put him down. I know she is. I'll just let her have him.
And I couldn't believe I didn't think about him immediately. I wasn't thinking about the Avengers until I saw your Thor, and then I was like, wait a minute. Peter Parker is perfect, and I love him. Like, Tom Holland's Peter Parker, love him so much. He's cute.
He is definitely like one of those characters that is a cinnamon roll, and like you would actually like he's a guy that you're like in love with.
Yeah, he's not on the sidelines. He's not like a cute cinnamon roll. He's a hot cinnamon roll, and he's also an action hero. So like that's really cool, and he's funny, and it's. He's got the little bit of edge that you need to stand out as a cinnamon roll in fiction. Unlike Captain America, it was just like, that guy just like reads us the rules. He's a goody two shoes.
Okay, so Christine, do you know who my eighth person is?
I have no idea who this is.
Okay, so my eighth person is Jaskier, or Dandelion. Jaskier is from The Witcher. Toss a coin for The Witcher.
Oh, yeah. The guitar player. He's the yard, the lard. Oh my god, what is it? Bard!
Bard.
I just called him the yard.
So I read the first 3 books of the Witcher series.
He feels a little too horny to be a cinnamon roll.
Horny?
Yeah, he's like always talking to women and like having sex with them, isn't he?
Is he?
In not the really. First season? I can see his cinnamon roll traits, but I always thought of him as like a little edgy there.
Yeah. In the books, Jaskier is Polish for dandelion. So they kept his Polish name, but in the book translation, it's dandelion, or as the audiobook says, dandelion. So that's the reason why for the two names. I don't know. I feel like he's a cinnamon roll, especially against the Witcher.
Against the Witcher. Yeah.
And like he's just so uplifting, and he's not as appreciated by the other characters, I think, in the story as much as he should be, because he always gets the short end of the stick.
Yeah, when he's not there, I really missed him. I was like,
yeah,
how we need this dynamic duo. He's the balance of the grump. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with him just traveling with the girl, it's like, where's the fun one? He's not here. I didn't know his name. The bard.
Jaskier.
So I don't have my list in like any order. I feel like yours might be. And mine, I was just like, as I thought of them. So my number 8 now, and there's no order here, is Percy Jackson. Everyone knows that Percy Jackson's like my book husband. And if you don't, Percy Jackson's like my book husband. I love him. He's so sweet. It's so funny. The thing is, Percy is mischievous, but he's always mischievous in the sweetest ways, and he's so sweet to everyone. Like, he's really nice, and like all these weird monsters and shit, and everyone, you know, he encounters, he's always really nice to them. And he's like
rebellious because he breaks rules, but he always is so cute about it that no one, I mean, people care, but I don't care. He's so funny. And he's like, you forgive him because he's so funny and cute and like he's doing it for all the right reasons. So it's really nice. I love him. And Natasha doesn't know him yet. And you're going to meet him as such a youth. They're going to be like, why? This is weird. He's 12.
I only know the movie version of Percy.
Percy grows up through the series. And in our day now, he's in his like late to mid 20s. I forget how old he is.
Why are so many people in love with Percy? Julia says, I'm...
Because he's such a great... You don't understand. He's like, he's so funny and he has an edge and he's so witty and he's great.
Can you give me an example? Because I'm not sold.
Well, obviously you haven't read anything. How would you be sold? Like, he's also attractive, but like that's not why I like him, because I don't see him. He's only in a book. I make him up in my head. He's a cartoon character, but he's like Aladdin. Okay, imagine Aladdin with like the power of the sea, and he's much wittier than Aladdin. Like, Aladdin is witty, I guess, but like he's got these zingers and they're always so cute and funny, and he's so great to his girlfriend. I love them together. I can't tell you anything else. It's hard to tell you. You have to read it. You can't understand.
I'm going to read it. But like, okay, you kind of sold me on the Aladdin bit.
Yeah, I had to Disneyify it for you there. But I would compare him to Aladdin. I would compare him to, like, you see the kind of people who are on my list. Like, compare him to all of those.
Yes. Our lists don't have any crossover. Well, I could have put two crossovers, but I let you have them.
I could have put Jamie and I let you have him. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Hey!
I'm sorry!
Okay. My next person is stretching it again.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe he's on your list.
Do you know which version of Captain Hook I am speaking of?
No, I know you're the Once Upon a Time version. I just don't know him.
Yes. Okay, so I put down Captain Hook from Once Upon a Time. And not because of the first few seasons that he's in, but because of the entire arc. And if I looked at him and Emma together in the relationship, Emma is like the toxic one, the toxic masculine one in the relationship, while Captain Hook just wants to love. He's had 500 years of being a pirate, and all he wants to do is settle down with Emma in Storybrooke and have a wonderful life, because that is his true love. And yes, so he is my cinnamon roll. I didn't put him on my toxic men because he's not toxic. He's just sexy. And there's nothing wrong with that.
While you were saying this, I'm so sorry to bring this back to Percy, but I just wanted to pitch you again. So, like, imagine Harry Potter if he was hot and really funny. And like whenever he slayed a dragon or something, like, it was hilarious because he would have like the perfect zinger. And he wasn't dramatic, like, in that way where it's like so serious all the time. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry. Do you have any more for Captain Hook?
The thing is, I feel like cinnamon roll men, they can't be like outwardly sexual, but Captain Hook is.
I mean, some of them are outwardly sexual on our list. Oh, I didn't even notice number two. I want him on my list too. I'm in love with your number two. I want to delete someone from my list and replace her.
You could just say along with me that he's your number two.
I will. My number seven is Ravi Singh from the Good Girls. I was going to say How to Get Away with Murder. The Good Girls Guide to Murder trilogy. He is the love interest in here, and he is so wonderful and so fucking smart and so fucking on top of his shit. And Pip, our lead character, can get really in her head and really not. She's so smart too, but she can get like really neurotic and mental health. You know, she can spiral down a mental health hole. And Ravi is always there to pull her out of it in the most comforting, wonderful way. And he is just the most solid person you could want in a relationship. You know, like he always is there and he's always willing to do whatever you need to get you through it. And she... at times she doesn't deserve him, but they're just so wonderful together. And it was a really wonderful ride to not have that time where like a couple breaks up in a trilogy just to break up in a trilogy. You know what I'm saying? Like there's always that moment and like they're always there for each other. And like their relationship only grows stronger through the series. And I love that. It was beautiful.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like I need to read this now.
You've needed to read this for a while. Get the audiobooks. It's insane. okay. A Good Girl's Guide to Murder by Holly Jackson, y'all.
I had to put someone from Disney down on my list, and it was either between Kristoff from Frozen, who I think is like the quintessential cinnamon roll man, but instead I put Hercules because he is also a very cinnamon rolly man out there. Like, I mean, he's like, he was this like skinny dude who was picked on, and then all of a sudden he got Captain America-ified, and well, actually he worked to be that way. You know, it didn't just happen like that. It's just, he literally just like gives up everything to save this girl who he thinks he's in love with, and she betrays him, and he still loves her after that. And like, he saves her from the underworld, and then Zeus is like, his daddy's like, come back up to Olympus with us, and he's like, no, I'd rather stay here in the mortal world with Meg, my love. And it's just so sweet. He's the sweetest. Yeah,
I can see where he has a Thor-like journey in his arc to his cinnamon rollness. You know, like there's this moment where he's really arrogant and annoying, but it comes because he's going through his journey there. You know, he's got to get used to the attention, and he gets a little arrogant, but then he comes back down to earth, and in his heart of hearts, he's a very sweet, wonderful person. Okay. My number six is actually one of my top cinnamon rolls too. Should I move him up? All right. My number six is Seth Cohen from The OC. I feel like he's the first person on TV that I was absolutely in love with. I came at a very close to another person on my list, but he was the first nerd that was cute. Like, there were cute nerds in the world, but not on TV. They were always just like gross, geeky, like heavy breathers. Like, that's what the nerd was. And the nerd was on Hey Arnold, the guy breathing over Helga's shoulder that she would punch
mouth
in the
breathers,
face.
You mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And Seth Cohen was this really adorable, cute nerd on this very popular TV show. And he finally gave face to all us nerds that aren't like the disgusting people you see on screen. And it was finally like a love interest that was a nerd. Like, it made nerds cool. I truly believe that Seth Cohen really started the movement of like cool nerds that started to emerge after that. And if you haven't watched The OC, you don't know him. If you have watched The OC, you love him, I feel like. But if you watch the OC now, you know, he's a teenager and he does have like a lot of selfish tendencies that teenagers have. Like he has all those flaws, but I believe that like as he grew into an adult, he would be a wonderful person. He has wonderful parents. Sandy Cohen and Kirsten Cohen are just amazing role models. So I have no doubt that he would evolve into a really great person in all the faucets, not just the ones he has in the show as a teenager.
I definitely think I agree with you. He's definitely a cinnamon roll guy.
Yes. He loves Summer, and Summer is such a bitch in the beginning. And no matter how mean she is to him, and he's like, she's gonna love me someday. Like, it's gonna work out. It's so cute. All right, who's your next one?
Okay, my next one is Charles Bingley, and he is the love interest to Jane in Pride and Prejudice.
Oh.
And the oldest sister. And like in every rendition of Pride and Prejudice, he is like the sweetest guy. The only thing is he just doesn't have the biggest backbone, so he is easily persuaded all the time. And in the 2005 version, he's played by like just the cutest man ever. He's like this like redhead and this brilliant smile that he has. And there's like a scene where I think they're at a ball or something, and he's so enamored with Jane, and you can see it in the scene really well. She's like walking away and he's like touching like the ribbons on the back of her dress, and it's just so cute. And like when he goes and professes his love for her, he just like starts immediately crying.
Oh.
He's the cutest. He is definitely the cinnamon roll of the Jane Austen world.
Yeah, like these are the people that you want to marry. And
yeah,
the toxic men list are like those people you lust over and you date and then they break you into pieces.
You just hope that they change for you.
Yeah, and that's such an unhealthy mindset. Okay, my next one is, he's the only one here that I was like, he could be considered borderline, but like I think he is a cinnamon roll at heart, and that's Dorian Hilliard. I honestly am like, anything you tell me to the contrary, I feel like can be easily explained and easily thrown aside. Like, he is a cinnamon roll boy. Like, he falls in love with Selena. And Selena is so cold at times, yeah, and so dismissive. And he loves to read, and he loves her dog, and he like leaves her gifts. And when he falls in love, like, he falls so head over heels hard. He's such a romantic. And we see him fall in love again in the series, and then again. And every time, it is the sweetest fucking thing to watch. I love him so much. He's also really hot and also has like all this raw magic that he's learning to use. And he's so sweet, but also has an edge. Like, he has this really sexy edge. And he's really witty. And yeah, that's what like most of these people on this list are, really witty. That's like the common cinnamon roll thread for the people I love here, except for Jem. Jem is like, he's smart, but he's not as like snippy. He's at the bottom of the list.
I guess you could say that for all of my guys. Not all of them. Some of them are just cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Hercules is not. I just feel like he's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
No. And that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right. My next guy also probably...
a little borderline there.
A bit borderline. But I think because... anyways, it's Cassian from A Court of Thorns and Roses series. And
we love Cassian.
I think he is such a cinnamon roll because he's like that. He's like Emmett. He's like the big, like, burly dude. I don't. Oh my god! I didn't even put Emmett down on my list. What was I thinking?
Oh my god!
What has happened? This is a tragedy.
I know. Okay, Emmett and Cassian can be in the same number.
They're the same person.
Technically, they are.
I feel like Cassian's smarter than Emmett. Emmett kind of, like, doesn't have... Cassian has more going on in his head, I feel like.
Yeah. I just, like, I mean... He's just the big burly dude, but he's
way more than that
though.
He's very sensitive.
I know, but he's got the quippiest lines. He's the sweetest dude. He's so patient.
Yes,
like
we love that.
I love Cassian. I think more than I do.
Rice.
Why am Reese?
Rice.
Yeah. Reese.
Rice.
It's not rice. You don't eat it. It's Reese-and.
Okay, Reese's is also a food, so you have no ground to stand on there.
Fairy eats it.
But yeah, no, I love Cassian, and he really, truly won me over in A Court of Silver Flames. Like,
he's
wonderful. Sure. You really get to know him better then. But he's like a really sexy cinnamon roll. He's got an edge there. Like in all those scenes, like he doesn't feel like a cinnamon roll at all.
And that's okay. They can be different in the bedroom than they are in real life. Mm-hmm. As long as they put you first. Well, you know, you can say that for the toxic men as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Cassian's a cinnamon roll. Cassian is who I would marry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's everything I want.
I don't even like Rhysand is a different kind of toxic person. Like I'm not really attracted to Rhysand that much.
I was, and then Cassian came in the picture.
I was attracted to him enough to like hook me into the series. Whereas with Tamlin, I was just like, I don't like you at all. You're so boring. Anyway, should we move to the next person?
Yes, next.
Okay. All right. My number four on my list, even though these are not in any order, is Randall Pearson from This Is Us. He is played by, know the actor. What is his name? Sterling Brown. And
yes.
Oh my gosh, at every stage of life, like Randall Pearson is the cutest, most adorable cinnamon roll in the history of the world. Like I'm in love with Randall and I just like it. He's so sweet and he's so smart and he like puts everyone before him. And it's like, there's so many moments in that show that I cry because I'm just so happy or like so blown away by how adorable what's happening on screen is. And is all so much of it is Randall. Like he is like the perfect dad and the perfect brother and the perfect husband, but he's flawed but he's always trying so hard. Like I love how hard he tries to be better and to grow and to like be there for everyone in his life even when it's impossible, and he cares so much about everyone, so he like gets into like I think he starts to like run for mayor or like run for like a seat on his local whatever government, and because he wants to make things better for the community, and like when he starts doing that he has less time for his family, and like it really like tears him apart, and he always makes it better because he's wonderful and he's so good at giving speeches. Like I love someone who can give an amazing uplifting pep talk speech, and every time he gives a speech I was like, oh my god, that's so beautiful.
Like, oh my
god, like he's great.
He sounds great. I will never watch that show though. It sounds way too emotional for me.
But it is wonderful if you're up for a family drama full of love and laughter and tears.
Okay. Now the whole list I've loved, but my top three are cemented. These are the top cinnamon roll of all time. Cinnamon rolls of all time. Okay, so number three is Samwise Gamgee. Christine, who is this person?
I know who he is. He's from Lord of the Rings, and he's really cute. He's like, Frodo, let me come from the water and save you. That guy.
Yes. Okay. Samwise, Sam.
He's like the best friend.
He's the best friend. And so in the books, he's actually about 40 years younger than Frodo. So that's why he always calls Frodo Mr. Frodo.
Oh.
But in the movies, they're like the same age.
The same age, yeah.
He's so loyal. He doesn't want Frodo to do this alone. He like goes on this deadly journey with him, and he's always looking out for Frodo, even though Frodo betrays him multiple times because Frodo is listening to Gollum, and Sam knows. He's wise. He's wise for his young years. And it, like, you just want him to have a happy ending, and he does have a happy ending. He gets to go back to Hobbiton. He marries the woman that he's like admired and loved for years, because he finally has the confidence to do so, and they have children.
Good.
But he, like, I just rewatched all the Lord of the Rings, and like, just there's like so many amazing quotes that Sam says, and you just want to cry. Because he is the bestest friend anyone could ever ask for.
He was really sweet in that moment at the end. And I teared up because he was so sweet.
Yes.
All right. My number three feels obscure, but he was the light of my life in 2006. and that is... Peter Petrelli from Heroes. Now, Heroes burned fast and hard, and like, if you blinked, you missed it. But season one of Heroes was so fucking good. Everyone was watching it. And Milo Ventimiglia played Peter Petrelli. He was so sweet. He was a nurse for, I think, older people who were, like, going to die. So he had a really, like... kind of sad but very sweet job taking care of them in their homes and stuff. And he was so hot, and he had the best power, which was like, to when he was around people with an ability, he could take on that ability, but he didn't know he had this. And so we start seeing him like have all these different abilities to try to like deal with it, and he's such like a sweet cinnamon roll person. And his brother is a senator, and he's kind of a douchebag, so he's always dealing with his brother's douchebag nature. And no matter how much of a jerk his brother is, he's always there for him, and he's loving him and supporting him. And he saves the cheerleader and saves the world. This is when I fell in love with Milo Ventimiglia, and I would have put him on this list in every role he's ever had that I've loved. So I almost put Jess on this list from Gilmore Girls, and I was like,
no.
But like, since Milo played him and I'd already known him as Peter Petrelli, I was like, what do you mean? He's Peter Petrelli. And then he plays Jack Pearson on This Is Us, he's like the patriarch of the family. And he is the most wonderful father. And he is why Randall Pearson has a lot of the traits that he has, because he's his dad. And but I didn't want to put all the Pearsons on this list. But yeah, I love Peter Petrelli. When Peter Petrelli, like, you know how in shows like Heroes, like, people die, and it's like Vampire Diaries. So like, the first time they die is like the most emotional experience of your life, because you think they're actually dead, but then like there's an ability that brings them back. And when he died, I remember I was unconsolable. Like, I was like screaming and crying, so upset. That episode, I'll just forever remember the image of like his death. Like, I cannot believe they killed Peter Petrelli. Spoiler alert, he didn't die.
That was me, like, watching Grey's Anatomy, like, in the seventh grade, and Meredith Grey, like, gets thrown off of this ferry, and we don't know if she's going to live or not. I was like,
Yeah, 16-year-old Christine was distraught.
Yes, so distraught. restaurant. All of those, any show that you watched when you were like middle school to high school, like they became your life. Like for a week, I was just sad.
It was like my personality was Heroes. I was like, oh, did you guys watch Heroes? Like I was just constantly like, did you guys see? Did you guys see?
Same thing with Once Upon a Time, but I was in my 20s and I could talk about it on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, it's a different dynamic. Like at school, you go in and everyone's like, did you see the show? Did you see it? Yeah. Watch it. Uh-huh. Yeah. It was like the cooler talk, water cooler talk all throughout the day. So, Abby, that was me with the that was me with the Vampire Diaries too, Abby. Like every time someone died, I was in hysterics. Like, I would take a picture because I was like, just makeup running down my face.
Okay, so my number two is Steve Harrington from Stranger Things. At first, Steve was a douchebag, but then
was he though, he just, or was he just misunderstood and a product of his surroundings?
I mean, you could say that for all the toxic men.
Sorry, this is my toxic trait. I'm trying to excuse it. Douchebaggery.
And then some children softened his heart, and then he became the dad and the babysitter of the group. And then he would do literally anything for his friends, and he became a cinnamon roll.
I am like head over heels in love with Steve Harrington. And every time I watch it, I'm like, I want to follow everything that guy does, but he's so private and never posts anything. So I'm like, I can't follow him. I can't follow Steve Harrington.
He's definitely your type of guy. He's not mine. But I think anything to do with him and Dustin, I'm just like always like, oh, I love it. He's so cute.
Anything to do with him and anyone in the show, I'm like, oh my god.
I didn't love what was happening though in the last season with him and what's her face.
Who? Nancy?
Nancy.
I love him and Nancy. I ship them so hard. Please get back together. Yes, they've both grown and they're both ready to be with each other now.
I guess so. But like they're still like young adults. They need to go off and do something. And
I think they just saved the world, Natasha. I think they've gone off and done things. Like they've been in another dimension.
You're right. I guess so. Nancy has had some of the most, I think, intense character development within the show.
Yeah. I think Steve has too. He's gone through.
Yeah, a lot. They both have.
Yeah. And yeah. Jonathan kind of just like fell by the wayside and I don't care about him anymore. He's kind of going through his own shit. He has to grow and he hasn't yet.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know if I have anything more to say on Steve, but
all right. Well, Steve's wonderful. I love him too. All right, my number two is Stiles Stilinski from Teen Wolf. He's the reason I wanted to watch Teen Wolf, and I like fell in love with Teen Wolf because of Stiles. And then when Stiles wasn't on Teen Wolf, I was like, I cannot handle Teen Wolf anymore.
Like, I love Stiles too.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I just swoon all the time whenever Stiles does anything, and hence like my love for Dylan O'Brien. And then like I see Dylan O'Brien dancing, I'm like, yeah, I knew there was a reason I loved you. But Stiles is like so smart, and he's always there for his friends, and he's also really funny. Like he has all the qualities I'm looking for in my cinnamon roll husband. And he's really cute.
Stiles, there's so many things that happen on Teen Wolf where I'm just cry laughing because he's so funny. Mm-hmm. His physical comedy, as well as like the way he delivers his lines, is all hilarious. Like anytime he's training with lacrosse, or what is that, what it's called? It's so good.
Yeah, I mean he's you're right with his physical, he has great comedic timing and delivering lines, but also the physicality of the delivering of anything, of acting in general. And that kind of like rivals Ross from Friends almost for me, who is so fantastic with comedic timing and physical humor. Like if you go back and watch Friends and just like appreciate David Schwimmer for like all the fucking amazing comedic movements, like iconic. Like I'll never forget. Like I'm feeling a little uncomfortable. Like he just like the pants, like the leather pants, like I
The leather pants.
This is so funny. And there's so much like that with him that is, I feel like, underappreciated until you watch it a second time, at least. But yeah, Dylan O'Brien does such an amazing job playing Stiles Stilinski, and I love that character so much.
Speaking of Teen Wolf, the movie comes out at the end of this month.
Oh, shit, I thought it was already out.
No. I thought so, too. No, it's not out yet.
Styles isn't in it, though.
So. I know. It's going to be sad without him, but I'm still going to watch it.
Yeah, Tyler's in it. I love a Tyler Hoechlin.
Me, too. And Holland's in it, too.
Yeah, but, like, Holland's character, like, Lydia by herself without the foil of Styles, it's like, what am I rooting for here?
I know. I love them together.
They're so great together. And we never had to see them together. Did they ever even get together? No.
No, it was just always teased.
Yeah, how could you do that to us? Like, Dylan, you should have gone back for the movie just so we could end Stidia. I can't believe this. This is really upsetting right now. I like never thought about the fact that they never got together. This sucks. Ugh. Did they even kiss? I think they kissed once.
They do.
Once. In the dark.
It's in the dark. Okay. My number one is Jamie Frazier from Outlander. And this is the man that I would marry. Like,
he is wonderful.
He's the most wonderful. He's just so young and naive when Claire comes into his life, and she teaches him all the things. And but he also is so protective of her. Like, literally, he's just like, to protect her, he willingly, I mean, he was infatuated with her, but he just marries her to keep her protected. And not only that, but, like, he lets her be who she is. And
in a time where it's really not accepted.
Yeah, truly. Their whole relationship was just so life-altering for me. Because I remember reading these books and then watching the show. And I was so, like, watching them interact made me feel so alone. Because I'm like, this is what I want. And I remember sitting there in my bed watching, like, the wedding episode back in 2014. And I was just crying because they're just so lovely. And I just love them. And Jamie is, he's a great dad. He's the man I would want to be the father of my children.
He's very sweet, and he's very smart and very capable, and that's very attractive. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that he can do all sorts of shit. like he's very handy, and he can do everything, honestly. I feel like he can do anything, and he loves to, like, read. He, like, owns a printing press.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best. All right, should we move to my number one?
Yeah.
All right, my number one that I moved up here because he's my favorite is Will Herondale. Maybe you saw it coming. He's also from the Clockwork Angel trilogy. And he is, like, you think he's, like, a bad boy with an edge at first, but then you realize he's a giant cinnamon roll and he's, like, under a curse. And he's just trying to take care of everyone. he is so sweet, and his relationship with his best friend Jem Carstairs, the first person I talked about, is the sweetest, most gut-wrenching, amazing, like, friendship that you could ever ask to read about. I just remember, like, sobbing, like, death sobbing on the plane reading Clockwork Princess and what they went through together. It was just like, they love each other so much, and they both love the same woman, and, like, they love each other so much that both of them are like, I want you to be happy. And, like, there's so much more to the story, but it's so beautifully done.
I didn't think Will was a cinnamon roll. I don't think he is.
Tell me why you don't, and I'll tell you why he is. Because he brings joy to everyone. He's always funny. He's very witty. He sings songs that are silly. Demon Pox.
He's
very silly. You know, okay. He's like a very goofy guy.
He is, but the whole, like, they were very, like, love-hate at the beginning. And I guess you could say the same for, like...
But it was for a very specific reason that he was being like that. And it's because he's trying to protect her from his curse.
I guess so. All right.
Like...
I'll let you have it.
I don't want to spoil it, but he's cursed.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. You're right.
Yeah. But anyway... He's wonderful. And oh my gosh, if you read The Last Hours, like, he is the most adorable dad. I love him so much as a dad. And he's my number one. Yeah, and those are our cinnamon roll mans. Men's? Those are our top men's. Cinnamon roll mens. We'd love to hear yours. So please tell us in the comments who your top cinnamon roll mens are. Just gonna keep rolling with that. And now we're gonna move on to our next segment. Upcoming, we have ACOTAR's chapters 12 and 13. We're doing an ACOTAR reread if you are just joining us, and we are on chapters 12 and 13. We're moving through pretty slow, but we're doing two chapters at a time now. But before that, we are going to do our Fuck, Marry, Kill of the Week.
I would just like to point out that Christine wrote Duck, Mary, Jill on our...
I'm just going to point out, it says Duck, Mary, Jill, but like I wrote this on my iPhone and I fucking... This is something I hate about the iPhone. It is... PG-13, it censors my typing, okay? Whenever I write fuck, it writes duck. And I'm like, are you shitting me? Like, who are you? Like, my Christian mother when I'm 12? Like, I don't understand. Like, who is this phone? So anytime I write ducking, fucking, it starts to ducking. The Jill part, I don't know if it censored me or if that's a typo, but it has a nice ring to it, Duck, Mary, Jill. Anyway, so my Duck, Mary, Jill of the week this week is Tobey Maguire, Tom Holland, and Andrew Garfield. We got some real people, but they're all Spider-Man.
All the spiders.
All the Spider-Man.
Okay, this is easy. I'm going to marry Andrew Garfield. I love this man so much. He is like everything that I want. I love him in all of his interviews. He's so good. And a little spicy, if I might add, because he is willing to kiss anyone on the camera. And funny. I'm going to kiss Tom Holland, and it's going to be a very sweet kiss, knowing him. Not knowing. I don't know him at all.
He's what a little I spicy.
Surmise. Yeah. And then I'm sorry, Tom.
You mean
Tobey? Tobey Maguire. I'm going to kick you off the cliff.
Poor Tobey Maguire. Because I'm going to cliff him too. You know, he's cute, but in my head, he's also old. And he's also the face when Spider-Man's running. You know the he's face.
Also did that. Well, he also was like cringy. Emo goth Spider-Man, which yeah, but is I liked very him. Funny to
I liked
watch.
Him like that. I liked him like that. That's like my favorite version of him. But I would obviously marry Tom Holland. I think we've talked about how much I love Tom Holland. And I would kiss Andrew. Where, like, I don't love Andrew like you love him, but he seems very sweet, and I have an appreciation for him.
That's fine. You can have Tom Holland. Well, Zendaya has Tom Holland.
Well, Zendaya has Tom Holland. But, like, in this magical alternate universe when he's single, I have Tom Holland. Tom, if you're listening, we don't mean any offense to Zendaya. We love her. All right.
They're the cutest together.
They are adorable. Just in case you're here. All right, let's move on to our chapter chat this week. Before we go in, though, I just want to tease our Fangirl Tea Time this week. We are going to be talking about our holiday breaks. We have lots of fun stories to share. We're excited to catch up and just have like a relaxing chat about how our New Year's and Christmas holiday went. And if you don't have Fangirl Tea Time yet, you can become a patron and support the show through our Patreon if you're interested. And when you do that, you get all of the Fangirl Tea Times we've done in the past. So you can go back and listen to all of that content. And it's a super fun time. The link to our Patreon is in the description if you want to check it out. And there's lots of other fun perks too. All right. You ready for ACOTAR?
I am.
All right, chapters 12 and 13. So what do you rate these chapters? I'm going to give them both an interesting. I think they're finally starting to capture my attention.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, I really wanted to read the next chapter.
Yeah, this is the first time that I was just like ready to let it roll instead of just being like, oh, I finished the chapter, pause. Which is nice. It's a nice feeling.
Yeah. It's gonna get harder as we keep going.
It is. We might have to do like three chapters. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, we start off with Tamlin coming in from trying to delete the bog. He goes to kill the bog and he's a little bloodied up. And Feyre is like, oh, you're hurt. It's the typical like, you're wounded. I'm going to patch you up. Let me help you. And Tamlin is very like, fine, how do you know how to do this? He's always like, how do you know how to do anything? You're just a human, you should know nothing. I don't remember like how he notices that she doesn't know how to write. He's like, you don't know how to write, do you? How do you know how to do anything else?
Because he looks at the map that she drops, and then she's just making like little marks. She's not writing words of where things are.
And so, you know that some people, like, this is like a thing that like turns them on in a relationship, is like helping the man or helping the person who's sick get better. And I feel like that's what's happening with Feyre. She's like warming and softening to him because she's like seeing him wounded.
Yeah, she's definitely like endearing herself to him. I totally forgot that Feyre couldn't like read or write.
Me too.
I went right over my head, but I think that's a huge thing later in the second book.
Yeah, I think like, she learns to read and write with the people at the Night Court, I'm thinking.
Yes. Yeah.
And so Feyre wants to write a letter to her family, but she doesn't know how to write very well at all. And so she's on a quest to teach herself it in the study. And when Tamlin asks if he can help her, and he asks in a very like Tamlin, like, do you want help? Like, and she's like, no, this is humiliating. Are you just going to like make fun of me? And he's like, why would I make fun of you? You think I have time? I spend my time making fun of you. I have better things to do. Like basically what he said. It's so stupid.
He's so terrible. It's just like they're so contentious to each other. And like, I just feel like I was just reading another chapter where they were fighting again. Like even when they had a little bit of like quality time, it was just like Tamlin just says all the wrong things.
Yeah, for the first time he like actually smiles though.
Yeah. And he's like, you're not what I expected. What do you mean? What does that even mean?
Yeah, I know. And she like overhears them having a cryptic conversation about the curse. Like Lucien's mad because he's running out of time and he says, you're not even trying.
Yeah. I know. I wrote down Lucien gets angry at Tamlin again and wants him to do something that the reader doesn't understand yet.
No, it's like this is going on for too long. Get to it. Tell us. And Okay, so then this is my favorite part of the two chapters. Feyre goes to look at the art and she finds this mural that basically explains the entire creation of their world. And there's a cauldron that has poured over with like starlight, it sounds like, that like created this world. And there's all these different panels of their different wars that we kind of move through, and the cauldron created the world, but like whatever was in the cauldron got poured out by somebody is what it sounds like. It sounds like there is like a god and it's not just the cauldron that has feelings, you know. They say like cauldron blessed, but who's controlling the cauldron is what I'm asking now, because it was poured. Unless that was just like a metaphor for the cauldron being a sentient bathtub.
Sentient bathtub. I thought it was interesting because she also sees the map. So the mural and then there's the map, right?
Yes, there's a map of just one thing. There's a map of Perinthian too, I think. Within and the murals.
I was thinking about this because I'm listening to it, and it's funny how much I have that map memorized in my head, and it's probably one of the only because of the book, but it's probably one of the only like literary maps, maybe besides Middle Earth, that I can see in my head, of like where everything is. I don't know, like I know like the bottom and the top, and then some of the middle is like,
but I remember like
the island.
Yeah, because it looks like the UK in Europe. So that's why it was really easy to remember it. Like, I remember glancing at it. I'm like, oh, this just looks like the United Kingdom. So it's easy to remember. But what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. The maps. She finds where she lives on the map, which is kind of grounding for her. And then we get to see where all the courts are for the first time. And I remember like brushing by this really quickly the first time I read it. And now I was like, okay, let me get my notebook and my microscope and write down all these little details. I didn't, but I paid very close attention.
I thought it was funny. Feyre says that she learned the lay of the land and vows to never go up north.
Yeah, and then she's like, next book, let's go up north. There was also, okay, so Feyre is talking to Lucien, and Lucien takes this as a compliment that she says that at least Lucien is just being exactly who he is, which is like an arrogant douchebag and a lot of the time. But Lucien's like, oh, so you caused another fight between Tanlin and I, because it isn't like that you like me better than him, basically, that you'll talk to me. And she asks him if she was like hypothetically going to catch like a hypothetical cereal, hypothetically, how would I do it? And he's like, well, hypothetically, like go to this part of the forest and go near running water, a double snare, and find some chickens. And hypothetically, I might be out there to hear you if you scream, so hypothetically do it at this time.
I thought it was so funny how, well, one, I was a bit like scandalized that she went and found his bedroom. I'm like, like me, if, with my, you know, period drama knowledge, I'm like, that is just so uncouth. And and then I'm like, Tamlin's not gonna like this. And then he's just like, come in, human. He's definitely more likable now than he was.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, it's weird because I remember him as being likable, and now rereading it, I'm like, he's so annoying. Like, as compared to Tamlin, I guess he's the likable one, and that's why we latch on to him as being likable. But the fact that, I don't know, he's even telling Feyre to do this surreal thing, I feel like it's like morbid curiosity if she can do it and not die, because this is very dangerous. And he's just like, yeah, go for it. Let me tell you how.
What secrets is she trying to get from the surreal? I don't remember.
You know, I feel like maybe it has to do with like what's going on with the curse. I have no idea either. I don't remember. I just... honestly, in hindsight, I feel like all of this means nothing. Like, I'm still, like, in that mind view. I'm like, I don't really like the first book in the Akatar series. It's one of those series where I'm like, I like the second book onward. And I kept reading because I knew I love Sarah's writing, so I know it's going to get really good. But all of this stuff doesn't matter. Like, the surreal in the long run, I don't think it mattered because you can't remember it. So it didn't matter. Right? Like, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, you just have to get to the end of the book and then you're in, like, another phase of, or another...
It's like a whole completely different world. Yeah, it feels completely different. And it's so much more exciting because there's, like, so much more likable characters and you kind of now feel like you're getting to know Feyre and who she really is when she's not in fight or flight. And she's in fight or flight for, like, this entire book.
That's very true.
And she says... she says this line that I just thought was, like, hilariously dumb. This, when Lucien's worried about Tamlin finding out that he told her how to catch a surreal, and she's like, well, good thing I have superior abilities to keep my mouth shut. And he's like, oh, I think I like you.
The thing is, like, that is a superior ability, because I can tell you right now, I am holding a lot of secrets from a lot of my friends, and it is extremely hard to not tell you or other people all these fucking secrets that I have, and I hate it, and I'm learning, okay, because usually I'll just run to my other best friend and I'll tell them, but I have to be a vault, can't say anything.
Now you just told us you have all these secrets.
Yeah, well, you're not gonna get them from me because I've already decided you're not gonna know.
All right. But yeah, I mean, I understand that it is hard to keep secrets. Like, I have the same, like, it, you have, like, this itch that you need to talk about it, but it's just, like, a stupid line. Like, she sounds so corny when she says it. Like,
good thing I have the superior ability to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, I think that is the end of those two chapters. It's kind of where we leave off. She's gonna catch the surreal next time, so things are about to get wild up in here. But that is our show today. We are about to go record Fangirl Tea Time. But before we do, I want to let you know that this podcast is edited by Alex Polis and Jay Needham. It is, the music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Troska. And we are Christine and
Natasha.
We release episodes every Friday. You can email us any of your feedback. We'd love to hear your feedback at thoseforkingfangirls@gmail.com. I think we might finally have enough for either a feedback episode or if we want to, like, do a feedback segment sometimes. I don't know, about, like, what we talked about last week. We can talk about that. You can email us there. You can subscribe to us on our YouTube for free so you can get the episodes every week. Make sure you're following us on the podcast app you're listening to us on, and we will see you next time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
See you next Friday.
Lowe's sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.